Well, hello, lovers. I'm super excited to be here today. Happy Wednesday. It's the 13th of March, 2024. It is day of Mercury, hour of Venus. Our hour is just about to click over to be Mercury. So this double Mercury energy, which will be great because Mercury is all about communication, darlings. And I am excited to just have at it with you. There is a beautiful week coming up. Venus has just moved into her sign of exaltation, Pisces, which is really beautiful. This is a real softening. What are you longing for? What are you yearning for, perhaps? A deeper love, a love that unifies, that moves like the infinity symbol, like into your heart chakra and then to another's. And ultimately, the magnetics and the electromagnetics of the heart is, I mean, it's been proven scientifically that it casts such a huge web, just like our auric fields, right? And Pisces, the last sign of the zodiac, you know this, we're in this, there's a stellium in Pisces, that's big energy in Pisces right now, yeah? This end, death portal, birth canal, final step. And now Venus enters the story. Hello, like Venus is entering the chat and Mars is coming along. So Mars will be in Pisces as well soon. Mars isn't as happy in Pisces as Venus, and Mars spends a lot longer in Pisces than Venus does. So I want to just say, friggin' have at it. Enjoy this luxurious few week transit. It's quite a quick one. Venus is sort of, moving quite quickly, so she doesn't spend a lot of time here in her sign of exaltation. But it does bring up things of longing, of yearning, of connection, of unity, of maybe you're longing for a deeper connection with someone, or a connection, or sharing your heart, or opening up. And for me, a lot of obviously Pisces rules the 12th house naturally. The rulers obviously of Pisces are Jupiter as the traditional ruler and Neptune as the evolutionary healer of ruler, sorry, and healer. Yes, for sure. Let's just say that as well. Neptune is the revolutionary healer and ruler, evolutionary of Pisces. So this portal of Pisces that we're in right now, this what is your union? Really, what is union to you? And for me, it's about connection to the divine. And that is what Pisces represents. That is what Neptune represents. Neptune is the higher octave of Venus. So whilst Venus, and Venus is exalted in Pisces, we have a look at Aphrodite, who comes out of the ocean with all the waves and the sea foam, and that exquisite print is etched into our minds. Yeah. This is Venus in Pisces. This is Aphrodite. Yeah. And so this deeper union, what is this for you? And connecting into the divine and knowing that Neptune is that higher octave of Venus, that Venus is material pleasures first and foremost. It's material. Venus is at home in Earth, very earthly Taurus, of course. That is one of her home signs. And you couldn't get more visceral and physical and hedonistic and pleasure and sex. And this is Taurus as an archetype, but Venus there, Venus is money, them dollar bills, baby. This is finances, this is possessions, and you will notice, and maybe you have strong Taurus in your chart too, that we have this tendency to say, well, that's mine and that's mine and that's mine. It's just like mine, 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 like the seagulls from Nemo. Mine, 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 mine. Everything's mine, and everything that's yours is also mine. I will share sparingly with you if I really fucking like you. But you can share your things with me, but I won't ask. Like, I don't need to ask, oh, is that nice? So I can have a bite of yours, so you can have a bite of me. Don't fuck with me and my food. I don't particularly want to share it with you. I may even wait until you're not around just so that I can eat, so I can enjoy just my food by myself. This is a Taurian pleasure, right? So we have, Taurus is possessive, so Venus. Venus also is ruled by Libra, of course. You know, Saturn, who is also in Pisces at the moment, is exalted in Libra. So Saturn is exalted in Venus's sign, yeah? And so there's something really magical because, of course, Venus has entered the chart of Pisces, where Saturn is, where the Sun is, where Neptune is, and Mars is going to come in soon. You know, there's something really beautiful here. But yes, so Venus is also her ruler is Libra, which is all very different to Taurus. You know, it feels different. It's ethereal, it's celestial, it's very fine and graceful, and it's very cerebral. You know, Libra is an air sign. It's not as in the body. It's not as, you know, that's not the way pleasure is seeked through visceral experience, all five senses. You know, Venus Libra is, there's something more magical sort of going on, and ethereal going on for her. But Venus in general is all of the five senses. You know, Venus is hedonism, pleasure, desires, you know, merging, possessions, money, material wealth, manifesting. You know, Taurus is the sign of, you know, they are the manifester. You know, that is the manifester out of all the 12 signs, right? But then Neptune is this higher octave of Venus. You know, this is more ethereal, this is more fantasy. This is sometimes Hollywood, you know, lies, illusions, deceptions, hopeful expectations, constant disappointments. You know, that is Neptune. And the illusion of Neptune can often have, you know, reality seeming harsh, you know, not wanting to take the rose-colored glasses off, addiction, escapism, you know, flitting about, hoping that life just gets better. That, you know, so you can see that, you can feel the real difference of Venus being that lower octave, but how we want to manage both of these. You know, we want that divine love, and this is where divine devotion, something that I've been, of course, speaking into so much around this discipline of being the disciple of devotion this year, and really, what are you devoted to? And this is where those questions of what are you longing for? Where is this yearning coming from? Can you move into the unfolding, the softening, the poetic dream of your own life, the tapestry of the subliminal, the liminal, you know, like what's not really there, but's there. This is misty weather, you know, this is misty sky weather, but it's mystical, it's magical. Like, this is a divine place, A, for Venus to be, because it's her exaltation. But of course, Neptune is also there, which is Neptune's home sign. So there's a real powerhouse here. And it is, it's like, whew, like I'm feeling it, you know, in my body. And it is, it's really magical. And so maybe your devotion or longing is maybe to even have a deeper sense of connection to yourself, to the earth, to the great mother, to the sky god, to grandmother moon, and to grandfather sun. You know, Pisces is all encompassing. It's everything. It's the higher divine, psychic, intuitive, all those pieces that you have to trust in. It's the universe. It's all that is. So when Venus moves in, you know, when Venus puts on the Pisces coat, which she is just like, you know, walking around, regaling in, darling. You know, like, this is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place for Pisces, for Venus to be in Pisces. And even with Saturn, you know, there's something really karmic here, and, you know, a relationship maturation, or even a, you know, even a divine connection that you might have over these next few weeks to music, or to nature, or to the wind howling through your homes. I mean, it's been really windy here in Brisbane. It's been amazing. I will open my entire house up. You know, what is whispered in the winds is the name of Lilith. And often people that don't really have a, you know, their full embodied experience with Lilith will hate the wind. They'll be very averse to the wind, but the wind, Lilith actually means the wind. So, you know, we're having these potent nature's forces coming through us at the moment. I mean, the energy is just sublime, darling. I don't know about you, but Saturn in Pisces for the win. What a friggin' glorious transit this is. I mean, look, if you're going through your Saturn return or you've got Saturn making a lot of squares to your luminaries or planets in your own chart, it might not be as sublime for you, but hey, we all go through that at some point. That's a part of our evolution, and the Time Lord of Saturn coming in and karmically wrapping us around the knuckles, right? Like, we've all got to go through that. There is a deep spiritual flushing going out with all of this Pisces stuff, with Saturn in Pisces in the final sign of the zodiac. 2026, holy shit balls. 2027, holy shit balls. 2025, sorry, because I'm writing my 2025 stuff. Yes. So 2025, 2026, big stuff as Saturn and Neptune begin their dance into Aries, back into Pisces, into Aries finally in 2026. So it's some big stuff. We're really crossing some thresholds here. But this year there's this stability, and I've spoken into this a million times. I don't like carrying on and being a broken record, but at the same time, you might just be joining for the very first time. So, hey, like, it's just, and sometimes it's good to repeat things so that you remember them, so that you really remember. So maybe over this transit, this is around sort of softening and de-armoring and coming back into your own heart song and being with nature and noticing the butterfly, noticing the wind, noticing the dragonflies. Any time, go out and look at the moon, go and absorb yourself in nature. Pisces energy is all, it's unified. There are no boundaries. And yes, that can be good, but then of course we need to have boundaries. But with Venus in Pisces, I just want you to love. Everyone needs a bit of a fucking break, I'm sure. So just drop into something that brings magic to you. Yeah, like, drop into something that brings you joy and pleasure, and it feels sublime to be in it. And again, because this is Pisces energy and Saturn's there and Venus is there and the Sun's there and Neptune's there, like I said earlier, like, this for me is the yearning of a deeper connection, which often comes from maybe feeling homesick, homesick from source, mind you, homesick from source, feeling disconnected. Feeling like the harshness of the world is just too much and you want to retreat. And hey, like, if you need to take time off social media, off seeing everything, off being involved, off being yelling at for not doing what you should be doing, because everyone likes to do that, because there's that array of judgment that happens on social media, all that white noise. If you just need to soften into your own hub, do that. Like, this is womb time, darlings. This is womb time. But it's a really big week coming up. What I want to prep you for too is, some big juicy things coming up. I mean, straight away, I'll just quickly, no, I spoke about the Venus gate last week, I'm pretty sure. But just remember that Venus is now in Pisces, but she just had her root star activation. So the root chakra, base chakra, Venus gate activation on the 9th of March in Aquarius. And I use the word de-armoring, a real, it's like a dismembering, a shamanic dismembering. We're right at the base of our chakras, except for obviously our Earth Star chakra, which, personally, I would, next month, that's where we will be going. We're getting, Venus is going into the underworld. She's going to disappear from the morning sky very soon. But I think that this de-armoring can happen too with Venus in Pisces, because we're sort of like taking the cloaks off. Again, it's like, what is left on you that is not for you? What is left on you that is tainting you? What is on you that isn't propelling you forward? Again, remember, we're in the death portal. This birth canal of Pisces energy. And so this can be a very karmic time with Saturn there. Saturn in Pisces, bone mother. I know Saturn is Kronos and he is a masculine, eating his grandchildren and all, right? The harshness, the coldness of Saturn. But I love him in Pisces. Like, hands fucking up if this is just so beautiful. So there is some real karmic things going on here too. So whilst we're in the base chakra, root chakra, Venus gate, Venus is traveling through Pisces, her exaltation. So this again is like a cleaning up and a clearing out, a completion. What are you, and of course, base chakra, this is around looking at your securities, your sense of roots, literally, your foundation, your energetic foundation. Do you feel supported by the universe? And if you don't, what needs to change? And that isn't outsourcing to get external things to make you feel free or to make you feel safe or to make you feel secure. This is what Pisces is. It's like, come home to yourself. Put your feet on the earth and sing my name. Call my name. That name is yours. That name is Pachamama. That name is the sun, Ra, Zeus, whatever that wants to be for you. But you coming home to yourself and devoting yourself to your own spiritual practices and rituals, this is the lesson of this transit with Saturn. Because relationship-wise, Saturn and Venus can be a little bit heavy-hitting at times. Venus is really good for Saturn, okay? Saturn is exalted in Venus's sign, so I don't mind the synergy between them, but of course, if they're in a hard aspect in your own chart, it can be a bit tough. Saturn is strict and stern, and there can be coldness in relationships. But what I'm loving about this is this karmic maturation that can happen. This, but even the grounding in your own pleasures, so remembering that Saturn is the anchor. Saturn is realism and not escaping through addiction or trying to bypass, but actually coming back to what's real. And if you look at that in your own life, what is really real in your relationships? Not what you post on social media, not what you read on social media about other relationships, not fucking maths, okay? None of that. Look at your own life and, less projecting and more internal reflecting. Pisces season is wrapping up this astrological year, and we're getting this delicious kiss, in my opinion, with Saturn and Venus here, really clearing up karma. And like I said, with that base chakra being activated for the next month, because this is the Venus gate we're in, again, we're de-armoring all the heaviness. It's like taking off cloaks and cloaks and cloaks. And every month at a Venus gate, we are moving down the chakras, and now we're at the root chakra before we move into the Earth Star, before she disappears into the underworld, which is into the sun, where she's going to be combust. Yeah. And furthest away from Earth before she rises as the evening star. And she will retrograde in 2025, where she will begin her brand new cycle again. So it's about facing reality and not trying to avoid or escape what's really happening for you, because it's easy to say, oh, I'm this or I'm that, but what's actually real? So that would be for, Saturn, for me, the Saturn Venus conjunction in Pisces can be a few things. It could be really sublime. It could be really, it could be a real, just a sacred connection with your lover or your intimate lover, or you might meet someone. The night I met Joel, Saturn was conjunct my Venus. So this is serious love. This is what this comes down to. This is like long-term serious love. This was 23 motherfucking years ago. Like Saturn was conjunct my Venus in the eighth house, baby. And I love this, and whilst there can be, of course, reality checks, and that's what I mean, like there's always often going to be one or the other. Are you holding up the veils of illusion, rose-colored glasses, sort of in hopefulness, or are you going to actually work with Saturn and face what's there and look at it directly in the heart? Look into your heart, look into your partner's heart, and really see the truth of what's there and moving forward, because this is quite foundational. These two coming together is quite a foundational moment of sort of what's coming up for the future, because soon Saturn will be out of Pisces and will not be there again for 30 years. And whilst yes, Venus and Saturn always come together, this spiritual union of being in Pisces is really something that's sacred and something that's special. It's karma on karma. Neptune is a planet of karma. Saturn is a planet of karma. Neptune rules Pisces. Saturn's in Pisces, So having Venus here is sort of like the glue, but it's also like, okay, yeah, what am I yearning for and what am I longing for? So I'm really excited about this. And also just reminder, hello, we're in eclipse season, and I was listening to Adam Elbamus. I'm not very good at saying his surname. I was listening to him as I was cooking dinner last night, and he made a really good point. He was talking about, I actually don't know what he was talking about. Maybe he was talking about the eclipse. Yeah, I think he was talking about the eclipse that's coming up on March the 25th. Our first eclipse of the year. I mean, we are in eclipse season, and then the first eclipse of the year kicks off on the 25th of March, and then we're in that eclipse sandwich, we're in that eclipse portal, and then, we don't really come out of eclipse season until that full moon in Scorpio. That will be the first lunation over this next month where we are not, where it's not an eclipse, yeah. But he said something really cool and I really liked it, so I wanted to quote him. And well, I'm not quoting him, but I'm just, this is where sort of it was just like, yes, that is so cool. Because we're having this Jupiter Uranus conjunction, which is pretty amazing. Like, it's a very, very exciting, expansive, opportunistic, positive, like boundless, friggin', it's an amazing transit that I'm super pumped for. I'm thinking of holding, a bit of a class on it in April just to prep and just to sort of look at things, because really it's sort of active now-ish, and it's going to be really active in April, and it's going to pretty much be playing out right through until March, sorry, May the 26th, when Jupiter moves into Gemini. So this is significant. And so we're in eclipse season, and what Adam said was, yes, we're all focused on this Jupiter Uranus conjunction, but he's like, but what precedes that? So often we look at, what precedes great change? We know that chaos precedes great change, or, it might not be chaotic for you right now. Like, however this year's unfolding, I'm personally loving this year so much. But whatever is happening now, and I was just like, yes, that's so true. And if we look at, well, what's actually the prequel to this Jupiter Uranus conjunction? And there's a few things in it, right? Okay, firstly, Jupiter and Uranus are both in Taurus, who is ruled by Venus. Okay, Venus is exalted right now. So we've just got her in her exaltation, which only happens, every a year to 18 months, depending on her retrograde and where she retrogrades. Yeah. So straight away, Venus is, a strong player in this Jupiter Uranus conjunction. So we're looking at, what I'm doing is we're looking at the prequel of this, which is, like I said, Adam just said, let's look at what precedes this great conjunction, because that's going to play into a really big part of the story. And it's so, he's just so right with that. I'm just like, absolutely. So then we've got the full moon lunar eclipse on the 25th at 5 degrees of Libra. Oh, who rules Libra? Venus. Where's Venus going to be? In Pisces, in her exaltation. Very fascinating. Yeah. Venus will also get to her exalted degree, which is 27 degrees. So her most happiest degree in her exaltation is 27 Pisces. So if you have a 27 degree Venus in Pisces, you have Venus exalted at the exalted degree. If you've got Venus in Pisces in general, of course, Venus is in her exaltation right now. And happy Venus return, darling. I mean, look. I've got Venus in Taurus, so she's at home, and I fucking love Venus in Taurus. You all know that. Venus in Taurus, love, 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 love. My top three Venuses would be Venus in Taurus, Venus in Pisces, and Venus in Cancer. They are my top three. And you will notice that I did not pick Venus in Libra. No, because it's very cerebral. Okay, so whilst Venus in Scorpio is in detriment, it is a water sign, but it's a fixed water sign. I love Venus in Pisces. Obviously, she's exalted. It's just delicious. I've got a shitload of Taurian planets. Of course, we're all gonna love, but I'm speaking, as an astrologer as well, not just with my own chart, but when we're looking at our own transits, we are gonna vibe with things better. That's why I'm just fucking loving Saturn in Pisces. Saturn in Aquarius. You all know I called him the C word every second day. He was squaring my entire Taurus stellium. He hit my nodes. There was a lot going on. I have a predominantly fixed cardinal chart, right? So the thing is that now, Now Venus is in Pisces. Yeah, I love Venus in Pisces, but I love Venus in Cancer. I must admit, I do love Venus in Sag. I mean, come on, Venus in Sag, that's just a fun time. We all need like a Venus in Sag person or a Venus in Leo. That maybe nearly be my top five. Yeah, I reckon they're my top five. There you go. That was just like a little bit of fun. Where was I? Where was I? Yes. So we've got Venus playing a really strong role over the next, month, in what's going on here. We've got her in her exaltation. We've just come out of a Venus gate. She's in her exaltation. She's going to meet Saturn. She's going to meet Neptune. Yeah. Which is really beautiful. She's chasing the sun at the moment. She's not going to catch up with him until Gemini, when Venus meets the sun in her superior conjunction in Gemini. That's a moment. That's a new Venus star point. Yeah. But yeah, I really enjoyed hearing that from Adam, just to sort of put into perspective that what's actually happening now, and to be honest, from now until the end of May, this is a really, I want to say, rich, sublime portal of quantum opportunities. Now, if you're feeling a lot of things happening and maybe they just haven't landed yet, that's okay. I think I said this in a couple of podcasts ago. It's all good. You don't, there's been this like sort of rubber to the road stuff. When Mercury was in Pisces, it was a lot of, we have Mars in Pisces, Venus, in Aquarius, when we had that Aquarius stuff going on. We were sort of gathering, we were gathering intel, embodying future stuff, right? Like, oh my God, what I've got to share tomorrow night on my Atlantis class is next level fucking amazing. Like, honestly, I've been literally taking notes for hours today, listening to some of my playlist that I've got, because I'm going to play a few songs in the class. I won't play an entire playlist, but I've got a playlist so I can pick some songs for us to really absorb that Atlantis energy. But I've been taking so many notes, and it's just so magical. I chose tomorrow to do it because of this Pisces stellium. And not only that, Venus will be conjunct the fixed royal fixed star of Formal Hat. So there's something, and this is the fixed star of the fish's mouth, where all of the information from the Aquarius water bearer's urn is poured into. And now I just want to read you what Formal Hout conjunct Venus is. Listen to this, it's so friggin' divine. The artist or the fanatic, seeing the magic in everyday life. Are you serious? You know that my book is Everyday Enlightenment, Magic in the Mundane. And with the return of Atlantis, and for some of us who haven't had the Atlantis magi hidden from us, we are now bringing it back in like a plethora of energy to help those who haven't had access to it, or who have forgotten their own magic, their own Atlantis memories or magic. We have been using it for the whole time, like that pretty much the whole time we've been alive. We are the occultists, the astrologers, the mystics, the seekers, the seers, this is the oracles. Like, it's often those people that connect to Atlantis. But there were, of course, muggles in Atlantis, muggles being taught. And so often, and I'm not saying muggles in disrespect either, I'm saying, normal folk who weren't the priestesses and the light bringers and the teachers and the gurus or the craftsmen, or there were people in Atlantis who weren't those things. It was an evolved race, do not get me wrong, but there were still muggles. And I find that some people are like, I am just totally not drawn to Atlantis. I don't care for it. Nothing, none of it even draws me. Then I'm like, oh, you were just like a normal person wandering around, like maybe being taught. And I think that you're either initiated or you're not. And that's okay. Like, I think that again, it's still this, we're not all in everything, like we've had thousands and thousands of past lives, which really are just honestly, like we are living all lives simultaneously. But anyway, it's not for everyone. And I totally get that. Like the people that have signed up, I think I've got maybe nearly 50 people that are coming to the class. So come and join if Atlantis feel, if you're feeling things, maybe you have worked with crystals or nature, of course, planets, plants, sound. I'm talking a lot about the tools that are have been around, but that will be remembered. I'm talking a lot about, of course, Atlantis in general. I'll talk a little bit about that, the fall, little bits and bobs of those sorts of the story and stuff, and my own recollection. But ultimately, I really am also wanting to speak into Pluto and Neptune. Poseidon moving into Aries for the first time since like 18 something, like 165 or 69 years or something. It's wild. So Neptune, Poseidon is actually beginning a brand new cycle of the entire zodiac coming up, but he still is at the threshold of finishing Pisces, which is his home sign. And hello, what actually happened? There was a big flood. There's a lot of stuff that's we are seeing mirrored here. And if you haven't read my, I've got two posts on my Instagram and my Facebook page around this. I posted the first, the rise of it, like I started just sharing. You'll sort of see like a temple picture, like sharing around Atlantis. And like I said, this isn't for everyone. Some people are just not interested in this, but I'm telling you now, I'm not, but, and I'm telling you that this is the way of the future. Like this is, and for some of us, we've already been working with this magic for a long time in our daily lives. So now, the recoil is happening. It really is a reactivation. And Pluto has a lot to do with this in Aquarius, because Aquarius is the future, and we're just about to spend the next 20 years with Pluto in Aquarius. And Neptune is on this threshold. So Poseidon is literally on this threshold of getting out of his water sign of Pisces and moving into cardinal Aries, fire, baby. Like that point and that threshold is enormous. And next year we see all of it. So this masterclass is something that you can keep forever and watch a million times, because it's really to prepare you and to sort of get you understood with what's actually available for us. And as we move into this very new high-tech way of being, which has a lot to do with Atlantis, which is different to Lemuria, which has a lot to do with Atlantis. So pretty cool. But anyway, so Venus will actually be, yeah, conjunct, like I said, formal out. And yes, this is around seeing the magic in the mundane. It's artistic. It's just a really, it's just really beautiful, because it's a lot of information coming through. So I'm super excited that I'm holding it on that night. I've already dosed myself with my formal hout Medicina, which I'm loving. It's a full bottle, because I ordered it like, oh, I reckon I ordered it 12 to 18 months ago. And it's now that everything's sort of in Pisces, I've just been working with it a lot more. I worked with it last year when Saturn moved into Pisces. And yeah, I just think it's like a daily oil that is going to be sort of activated for me, over this next little bit of time. So anyway, yes, that masterclass, it's 2 hours. Come live, come and say hi. If you're curious, if something piques your interest, come and join us tomorrow night. It's 7 till 9 Brisbane time. And again, if you don't, it's the recording is always there. All of the recordings are there for yours forever. Log in. Whatever you buy from me, you have access to on my website. So I would love to see you and for you to join all of us. So Venus is really potent in what's coming up. So not only is she ruling this first eclipse, but she rules the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. So I just sort of really wanted to say that, she's also going to conjunct Saturn, which is pretty important. She's going to conjunct Neptune, which is pretty important. So she's doing a lot. She's busy and she's really amplifying this energy for us. But this entire time, like we're in eclipse season until like nearly the end of April. It's a big time. And in April, what do we have? We have the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, which is pretty much, like I said, active from now, but building, 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 with the exact conjunction on the 21st. But ultimately, from like, I think it's the 18th to the 22nd, they're conjunct by degree, just with the exact conjunction by the quantum minute is the 21st, which is really fascinating because it's 21 degrees on the 21st. So I really love that. I'm a numbers nerd. But I just wanted to say, like, again, yes, once April's passed, it doesn't mean that these opportunities have passed. Like I said, we're actually in a big portal of potential right now, and it's from now right through to May the 26th. And again, I'm not saying from May the 26th you've missed your point, you've missed it, no opportunities anymore. Absolutely not. The ripple effect of these sorts of massive conjunctions that only ever happen every like 14 years or something is big. It doesn't just happen and then that's it. It's like the ripple effect, sort of like the eclipses. You know, the eclipses are stories. So whilst we can unpack, hey, you know, we're going to have this 5 degree Libra full moon eclipse, lunar eclipse on March the 25th. Yeah, we're all going to have that. But it's a part of the story that's been playing out since last year when the nodes shifted into Libra and Aries, right? So it's just a part of this ongoing story. So just remembering that, remembering things sometimes are one-off and it's just like kapow, like wow, everything's sort of, I am like everything's coming to me. This is incredible. But sometimes it's like, hey, like there's just like there's more of a build and the ripple effect, yeah? So that was just something really important I wanted to say is that Venus is super important at the moment. So follow her in your chart. She's going to be moving through Venus, her exaltation, and then she goes straight into Aries, which is her detriment. You know, she, again, Venus in Aries, it can be too self-absorbed. It's like, what, I need my needs met. This is about me. And it, you know, we've got that cardinal fire, but this can be really good for forging ahead. But I just want you to pay attention to those. You know, we're really in paying attention to Aquarius house, Pisces house, Aries house, and Taurus house until the end of May when Jupiter moves into Gemini, and then Jupiter will, you know, then that Gemini story becomes pretty strong because we get Mars in Gemini as well. Like it's, yeah, we're really looking at sort of, aren't we, the last couple of signs of the entire zodiac and those first few signs, and that's showing us the precipice of this transition that we're in, you know, this sort of energetic renaissance that we're in, right? I mean, I said this 4 years ago, you know, 2020 was the renaissance, you know, the conjunction, the triple, you know, the super conjunction of Pluto and Saturn and Jupiter and the South Node and all of those guys in Capricorn in January, you know, then we've seen the world shut down in March. That transition, you know, hadn't happened for 500 years. And then 500 years ago was like the Renaissance from the Dark Ages. So again, we are like, we're mirroring these things. And that's why this Atlantis story is strong, my friends, because again, we're mirroring things, the fall of patriarchy, ego, misuse of power, you know, trying to fucking grow humans out of fucking toes and shit. Like, I don't know. It's all very wild stuff, but this is shit that happened in Atlantis. Okay. This was the demise of Atlantis. And now it's the demise of this world. So we're getting this mirror just like we did 4 years ago where the whole world was shut down. And all of a sudden, you know, now the whole world has to wake up and it's uncomfortable, you know, because people do really want it and wish that it would just go back to the way it was before 2020. But yeah, Venus story, strong, delicious Venus in Pisces. She's ruling this eclipse that's coming up. You know, this eclipse is building, you know, the moon, she's growing, she's waxing. Go out and look at her. She's amazing in the sky. She's a crescent moon at the moment. Just after her beautiful new moon, she's in Taurus right now. So she's exalted for the next couple of days, making beautiful sextiles to all of this Pisces stuff. So the next couple of days, again, sublime, bliss, magic, yummy, juicy, just joy, darlings, joy. Yeah. The eclipse, of course, Venus rules that eclipse that's coming. I've already just said that. And yes, and that she is also the ruler of this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction because they're in Taurus, right? So there's some big stuff coming. So pay attention to the prequel of that conjunction in April. But like I said, we're in the hot zone of 2024 right now, from now until the end of May. Hot zone, opportunities, expansion. Pay attention. There's some big shifts. Now, over this next week, I just wanted to, you know, wrap up here. Go and have some lunch. So of course, you know, we're just about to enter the Chinese New Year. No, we've already done that. I'm going to have a little drink and I will sing my way through the rest of this thing. I mean, I'm right here on my altar. I have my beautiful Hathorian mirror and I'm just staring at myself in it. I put a little bit too much organic tanning water. And my face is really brown today. So hello, Tiani. But yes, you know, Venus is the mirror. So it has a lot to do with that sort of mirror work and really looking deeply at yourself. So instead of turning the mirror onto other people and projecting and deflecting and reflecting off you, turn that mirror to the self. Do the Venus work that is being called to be done over these next few weeks, because like I said, she's the ruler of so much of what's going on now. Yeah, you know, that second eclipse that we're having at the beginning of April is a total solar eclipse. Like, this is darkness upon darkness upon darkness. We have new moons every month. We have solar eclipses two, sometimes three times a year. Yeah. But this is a total solar eclipse. And, you know, maybe one to just really retreat. Yeah. That's what I'd be doing. It's not one to be dispersing your energy out of. You know, for me, I'm all about that the eclipse is the ritual. We don't fuck with the karmic nodes, because then you fuck with them and they fuck with you, baby. Like, it's eclipses are to be revered. They're not to just be like, oh, this is just another new moon and a full moon, and I'm going to, like I've always said, I'm not the eclipse fucking queen. You know, I'm not the prime minister of eclipses. I'm just sharing with you that traditionally, you know, people would go inside when the eclipses were around. People would be with themselves with the eclipses. We know that they are portals, that they are big beginnings, big endings, big changes that are coming. And what precedes eclipses is often quite cataclysmic. And now this is a total solar eclipse happening in North America. So quite interesting that it will be, I think, you know, obviously down here in Australia, we won't see it, but really fascinating. I would just be mindful. This eclipse is exactly conjunct Chiron, which is the wound. It's a deep one. It's a powerful one. And again, that's ruled by Mars, you know, and, you know, guess where Mars will be? Mars will be in Pisces, you know, so we're getting all of this direction of eclipses through their rulers being in the last sign of the zodiac, through Pisces, through spiritual evolution, through karmic dissolution. Like, there's some big stuff coming, and this is all preempting, lubing us, prequeling us for the Jupiter Uranus conjunction in April. Okay, I know that I've banged on about it. You know, I've got like a whole half a page here because I wanted to talk about Saturn being in this sublime second decan of Pisces, but I'm not going to get to it today. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow. Oh, not tomorrow. Oh, I'm not coming back on here tomorrow, but thank you to the other Tiani in the alternate universe who just said that. But I do want to prep you obviously for that, but also for this week coming up with this astrological new year, which happens on the 20th. So of course that begins our next season. So right now for us here down under, we are still in summer. You know, summer hasn't finished yet. And then when we hit the equinox on the 20th, we enter autumn. For you beautiful northerners, you guys are finishing winter, and then on whatever date that is for you in the northern hemisphere, it could be the 19th, could be the 20th, depending on, you know, your time zone over there, it is equinox, but spring equinox for you. So this is beginning the astrological new year. This is that 00 portal of Aries as the sun moves into Aries, crosses the threshold of the 29th degree of Pisces, which is the final degree of the zodiac, and moves into the very first degree of the zodiac, which is 00 Aries. So then we are in a beautiful space for 3 days, you know, for around 3 days, these equinox and solstice portals happen. We know that this is a time of equal light and equal night. That's what an equinox means. It's equal. So equal day and to equal night over those few days as everything starts to shift and the earth does her thing. So this is where, when working with seasons and when you're working with the earth's rhythms, you know, you start to, you know, you understand the seasons and her own rhythms and her signatures and what she gives us. So we move into a new season on the 20th of March. So that's just next week. And I'll probably speak much more into that next week. But I want to say that, you know, that to me is a beautiful day. If you've got my kit, make sure you do your equinox spread. You're setting up your next 3 months. You know, that is the next cycle from equinox to solstice, solstice to equinox, equinox to solstice. You know, we're seeing the beginning of a brand new season and a brand new 3 month cycle. So that's really beautiful. I'm, totally excited for that. And also just, another little heads up that on the 19th, Mercury enters his shadow. Okay, so Mercury will be going retrograde early April. This is why that bloody Aries house of yours is just on fire. We've had the Chiron North Node conjunction. We're going to have a total solar eclipse there. Conjunct Chiron, exactly. And we're going to have motherfucking Mercury retrograde there for pretty much the entire month of April. So that's really fascinating and really interesting. As well as Mars, he will move back into his home sign of Aries as well. So the Aries house, we're seeing it. We've had the Aquarius house have a full-blown, lots of stelliums because we're having everything's really, a lot of them have started new cycles and everything's really close, right? Mars started his new cycle when he hit the sun, and so he's, he's not with the sun anymore, but we've got Mars in Aquarius, of course, Pluto's in Aquarius, but then we've got Venus, the Sun, Saturn and Neptune all in Pisces, then we've got the North Node and Chiron in Aries, then we've got Jupiter and Uranus in Taurus. Like everything is just condensed and compact. It's all there. So on the 19th, Mercury enters his shadow. So from the 19th till the 2nd of April, when Mercury stations retrograde in Aries, these are the clues as to what themes will come up. I've already talked about how potent this sort of sphere is that we're in at the moment. So now from the 19th, you want to pay extra attention to what's going on or what's not going on or where there is miscommunications or what's going on in that Aries house of yours, because they are the things that you will revisit and that you will be reworking on when Mercury retrogrades. Remember, he is always giving you the clues. He is always showing you what you need to know. You just need to be awake and aware and to watch and to listen and to see those things. Yeah, he is a magician. He is a trickster. Hermes, the reincarnation of Thoth. Yeah, I've just been doing whole Emerald Tablet stuff, right? Like I'm just like, I'm in the Emerald Tablets, I'm in Atlantis, I'm doing all of the things. And yeah, so pay attention from the 19th. From the 19th to the 2nd, Mercury is in his pre-shadow, prepping you for what's to come. So big, beautiful, and bold energies, darlings. I hope you are frothing it as much as I am. I can't wait to see so many of you tomorrow night on my Atlantis call. I will do a Jupiter Uranus call, I reckon. I'll just do like, I'll just for us to get together and maybe do some like manifesting. Like I said, Taurus is the sign of the manifester. So in Taurus, we can look at your Taurus house where this is going to happen and just sort of unpack a little bit more of this Jupiter Uranus conjunction for you personally and just get together, like make it like this connection. This is what this is. We're unifying to sort of put out what we want for our future. So that could be really fun. So I'll put that together. And yeah, look, I've got my We Are the Witches program. Medusa's Mansion is up on my website. If you go and check out my website, you'll see all of my programs. We Are the Witches is a series, and it's a cohort of women that I'm calling in to work with Medusa. And then if you do the Medusa's Mansion, which is a series of four calls, on the evenings of in July, so 4 evenings in July. You get some gifts sent out. We're going to be working with liquid crystals. I've got some cool little things to send out. So I'll be sending you a liquid crystal, some cool stickers that I sourced, also a physical crystal to work with for those 4 weeks, because we're having a very rare Uranus conjunct Algol. Algol is Medusa. So we're going to be really diving into where that is in your own chart. I'm really talking a lot about Medusa stuff. It's a pretty exciting topic, and I've sort of been summoned to teach this. It's not, it's my joy because I have Venus exactly conjunct my Algol. So, of course, you want a teacher to have experienced these sorts of things. When people are just sort of listening to something or reading something from a book and trying to teach it and they haven't experienced it, you know that. So be discerning with where you go for your learnings, right? Like even me, I do like lessons of, I've just finished a poisonous plants poisonous plants journey. And of course, she's a Virgo. You know, like it's if you're experiencing those things, you can see that in the teacher. And so with my Venus, who is my chart ruler, the apex of my yod, exactly conjunct Algol, which is a fixed star at 26 degrees of Taurus. So we all have Algol at 26 degrees of Taurus because it's fixed. That's where it always is. If there's strong stuff there, you will know this, you know, this Medusa story and this Algol story will be really strong for you. So I'm calling in this beautiful cohort to work with me for 4 weeks for Medusa. And then if you join that one, that's the first one off the rank for the We Are the Witches. The next one is Persephone and Ceres. And I am frothing to share this Persephone and Ceres masterclass with you. You'll get that for half price if you join the Medusa's Mansion. And you know, there's just, you know, it is around building this cohort. You can just do Persephone and Ceres, which is just going to be a 2-hour class. You just pay the one-off thing, you get to keep it and it's yours, and you don't have to do Medusa's, but I've got a limited amount of spots for Medusa's Mansion, and those people are invited to come along for the journey for the next few classes that I have in the cohort and in the series. And then they'll get discounts on the following classes. Yeah, I have another class coming up this year too, which is around sacred vows and sacred contracts with Lilith and Juno and the South Node and Venus. It's and the Moon. Like it is pretty exponential to have all of them together at the same time. So we're going to be doing some beautiful stuff then. I think that one's in September. So Medusa's Mansion's in July. I've got the Persephone and Ceres class in August, and then in September I'll have the Juno one, but I'm also playing with a couple of other ones. But it's pretty exciting. Like if this is the sort of stuff that sings to you, you don't need to know your astrology chart. You don't need to know all the stuff, but you can actually learn these pockets of things that really accelerate your own understanding of those parts of your chart. You don't have to understand absolutely everything. And I encourage on these journeys to sort of get out of the head and get into the body in that experiential space where you're not trying to articulate something or cerebrally understand something. I mean, that's definitely the case with the Atlantis workshop. I mean, this isn't about going, oh, but then this happened on this exact date and then this happened and blah, blah, blah. Like, no, it's about this feeling, like the wisdom temples within us. So, yeah. You know, if any of these things feel great to you, I would love to see you there. Obviously, everything's on my website, tiani.com.au. It's been really beautiful to be here with you and explore and open up all these sort of, it's just a slather of possibilities right now, is what I want to say. Like, this is just so many possibilities and so many alternate realities and alternate paths and things opening up. It's just magic. And it's like, step in, darlings, lean in, step in. These next couple of months are pretty bloody sublime, pretty delicious. And yeah, enjoy this next week. I will be back in your ears next week and we will talk a little bit about the astrological new year, you know, just that sun ingress into Aries. I'll probably chat about, but then I'll be prepping you for that bloody full moon lunar eclipse that's happening, yeah, because it's not happening within this next week, it's happening the week after. So I'll definitely be talking you through that. Very exciting times. So journey well, darlings. Have a wonderful rest of your week, and I will be in your ears very soon. Bye, 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 bye.